Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at noonday. Praise Him when the sun goes down. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, why don't we just praise Him? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Well, I want you to take off all your troubles. I want you to strip away every problem, every issue. I want you to put your praise on this morning. Amen. Come on, forget about tomorrow. Forget about yesterday. I want you to live in the moment. Amen. How many come to praise the Lord this morning? Come on. One mind and one accord. We're here together to praise and glorify God in His majesty and in His greatness. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, let God have His way. Let God have His way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You got the Bible with you this morning. Amen. You got the Word of God with you this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why don't you just shake it at the Satan, old devil, this morning? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Greater is He that is within me than he that is in the world. Praise God. From the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The second chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Beginning with verse number 1 this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. The prophet writes, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, go and cry the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee. I remember thee. The kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals. When thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown, Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that defile him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity and are become vain? Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no man dwells. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the first fruit, to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land, made mine heritage an abomination. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your amazing grace. How thankful we are that you thought of us when we were seemingly unworthy. I'm so glad that Jesus, when he was on the cross, we were on your mind. Father, I pray your mighty anointing this morning. God, that you would anoint these lips of clay, this vessel of flesh. God, that the Holy Spirit may speak to us this morning. God, that you would have us to hear, that we may be obedient, that we may be submissive to your will and to your word. Father, our hearts go out to those who are suffering this morning, so many are afflicted and sick. Father, we're relying on your healing power to touch them. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. God bless you. Turn to your neighbor. Give them a handshake. Amen. Tell them, let's just get on the... Amen. Let's just get our mind on the Lord this morning. Can we do that? Praise God. I want to bring a message this morning, and bear with me. I want to entitle it, The Detriment of Plenty. The detriment, the harm, the peril, the danger of plenty. Or we might say it this way, when does plenty become too much? Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet, not because he was weeping for himself, but he was weeping for Israel. He was weeping because he had seen a transformation in God's people. He had seen them come from being on fire for God to a lackluster state of spirituality. He had seen them go backward and not forward. He had seen them reap and not thank God for what He had blessed them with. And it had a stirring effect upon Jeremiah, the prophet. God began to speak to Jeremiah. He said, I need you to go and tell the people. I need you to go and cry in the ears of Israel. Tell them and warn them that the road that they're headed is a road of peril. I need you to remind them. How many knows that we need to be reminded sometimes? Oh, we can have the biggest pity party that anybody could ever imagine until we begin to think of where God has brought us from. I think we need to sing songs of praise. I think we need to sing songs of how He brought me out of a horrible pit. How He turned my life around. We have grown so accustomed to being blessed. We have grown so accustomed to God making a way for us that seemingly in a time of an abundance, in a time of plenty, in a time of bountiful fruits, sometimes we neglect or we forget to thank God where He brought us from and what He has done for us, and by faith what He's going to do for us. Thus was the state of Israel during this time. God said, I brought you into a plentiful country. Plentiful meaning abundance and more than enough. God's word is full of issues in different situations where God is a timely God. God is a God of making a way when there seemeth no way. Many, many times God did not overfill us or give us more than we deserve because we as a people of flesh and bone could not have been able to spiritually handle that. I'm reminded of the meal barrel. There was a distinct reason He did not fill the meal barrel up. He let it be enough for each and every day. I remember the prayer of Jesus where He said, Father, or teach us to pray. And He said, bless this day or give us this day our daily bread. Not even thinking about tomorrow or next week, but knowing that God is one who can supply our needs on a timely basis as He sees fit. Now this relationship was a sweet thing, according to God, as though it was the love between espousals, below, as though it was a love of a youth, a person that had not yet learned how to be disobedient or disrespectful, a very sweet and precious love. And it was in a time, it was in a situation where there was not a bountiful amount of food or fruits or anything else that the children of Israel could rely on. It was a time and a situation where the only person that they could rely on was God. Can I remind you today, child of God, has there been times in your life when you could not rely on anything else? There was no one else there that seemingly could help you. It seemed like all hope was gone. It seemed like there was never an answer to be had. It seemed like that there was not a light at the end of the tunnel. The only one that you could rely on was Almighty God Himself. And in that time, in that time, God came on the scene. And He put a door where there was not a door. He put food on your table when you had no idea where it came from. He put money in the bank when you didn't realize that there was money to be had. God can make
make a way when there is no way. And can you remember your nature of worship during those times? How thankful you were. How appreciative you were. How mindful of where your blessing came from. Thus was the children of Israel in a time of destitute, in a time of trouble, in a time of turbulence, in a time wherever they looked, it seemed like that there was hopelessness around them. The Bible says that God spoke to Jeremiah and he said, tell them, you have forgotten who brought you out of Egypt. God, let me never forget who brought me out. Thank God for the ministry. Thank God for the praying saints. Thank God for a God-fearing mother and father and grandparents that loved me. But let me never ever forget who brought me out of a horrible pit, who turned my life around, who gave me hope in a hopeless situation. Amen. Who gave me joy when seemingly all I had was trouble. Let me never forget your honor, your glory, your majesty, your power. God, I want to praise you forever and ever and ever. But seemingly, from the time that they wandered in the wilderness journey until the time they entered into the promised land, it's almost like they entered into something that said, I've got it under control now, God. I can make it okay. The past is the past, but now I can say, so be at ease. Come on, there's a danger there. There's a detriment of having too much. There's a detriment of plenty. You might say, Brother Eddie, I don't think that you can have too many blessings. Well, I agree. Amen. But you need to be mindful of where every one of those blessings came from. Amen. Glory to God. Listen, I just get real plain with us this morning. If troubles and trials bring you closer to God, look out for troubles and trials. Now, if success and plenty can take you closer to the God, be able to handle that success and plenty. But if success and plenty drive you from God, if all of a sudden things are going good and you don't see the need to pray, you don't see the need to read your Bible and fast, you don't even see the need to come and fellowship with the saints of God, you beware if you're into that situation where you have plenty and everything seems to be a rosy garden. Amen. Let me tell you something. Things are about to fall apart on you if you realize that, because my reward is not in this pleasant place that I'm in. My reward is not of this world. My reward is yet to come. And I'm still holding on. I'm still trusting in the never failing God. I'm thankful sometimes that the journey gets rough. I'm thankful sometimes that I'm in a wilderness, because when I'm in a wilderness, I got nowhere else to turn to except God. And I find Him able to satisfy my need, able to give me the desires of my heart. Glory to God. You defiled my land. Can I say it this way? You defiled my blessing. You've abused my generosity. You have taken advantage of me opening doors for you. Somewhere along the line, you're not as loving as you once was. That's what he said. He said, I remember you. I remember thee. I remember when you woke up in the morning and the first thing that was on your heart and on your mind was a relationship with me. I remember when the last thing you did every evening, right before you went to bed, you put away every problem, every trial, and you began to speak to me, not just when you needed something, not just when you were sick, not just when you had a situation that you couldn't handle, but every night, amen, you began to reach out and pray to me. We had a relationship. I remember thee. It was sweet. It was wonderful. Amen. But let me tell you, it was a time not of plenty. It was a time when there was nothing around you. It was time of desolation. It was time of turmoil. It was time of not knowing what was going to happen the next day. But you remain true. You remain faithful. And you remain loving. And then sometimes we step back and say, why isn't God blessing me like He used to? And then God asked this question. What iniquity or what evil have I done to you? I know that affliction gets to be the point of unbearable. I know that the loss of loved ones sometimes puts a place in our heart that we think we'll never be able to get over. But let me tell you what absolutely sends fear and trembling up and down my spiritual spine is when somebody says, God, why did you do this to me? I'm so thankful for the forgiveness of God. I'm so thankful for His long suffering. I'm so thankful He forgives me when my mouth runs off and I hadn't had a time to think about what I'm saying. But I've come to the realization that if I can't serve God in the time of plenty, then take it away. Brother, what are you talking about? I don't want anything. I don't want nothing to come between me and my relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. Give me this spiritual awareness of Job. Naked I came into this world. Naked I'm going to leave it in the same manner. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. When he'd lost seemingly everything that was near and dear to him, rather than sitting in a pity party in a corner somewhere, he fell down and began to worship God. He began to have that relationship with God. The only thing that's going to see us through this problems, the only thing that's going to see us through the trials and the issues that undoubtedly are going to come upon us. Amen. But when those things come, hallelujah, rather than giving up, just reach up. Amen. Take hold of the hand of the Lord. Praise God. Glory to God. What iniquity or evil have you found in me? Hallelujah. You have turned to walk after vanity. You have forgotten who brought you out of Egypt. Let me read a series of things found in verse number 6. You have forgotten who led you through the wilderness. You remember the wilderness. Do you remember being in a state of total and absolute confusion? When every place that you turned was barren, was deserted, was uninhabited. I'm talking spiritually now. You looked for a kind word and couldn't get it. You looked for a smiling face, but in other words, you couldn't find solace, you couldn't find comfort in anything or anybody. You asked God for a word. You asked God for a sign. But it was a wilderness. And you realized that no one or nobody is going to lead you out of this wilderness. Nobody's going to magically say a phrase that's going to shake you out of that situation that you're in. And you finally come to the realization that the only help that you could find was in God. And finally you realize, God, I need you now more than ever in my life, God. I'm facing a situation I can't get out of it, God. I'm weak. Lord, I'm not able to go on any further. I can't do it. I've looked for help and others can't help me. I've tried to lift myself up, but every time I keep falling back. God, I need you now. And out of
God's mighty grace and His power, He reaches down and He lifts us out of that wilderness. He lifts us out of that horrible pit. He lifts us out of that situation. He heals us. He blesses us. He opens a door for us. And oh, how sweet He is. How precious He is. When He answers prayer, when He makes a way, you forgot who led you out of the wilderness. You forgot who brought you through a land of deserts and pits. You ever been there? Deserts and pits. Seems like everything I do falls flat. Everywhere I walk, I step in it. I can't do or say anything now that doesn't come back and fly into my face. I can't look up and praise God because I'm too busy looking down, seeing what's going to trip me up next, what pit I'm going to fall in. You got to understand, the children of Israel have never been outside the city limits of Egypt. Sometimes we're in such a comfort zone, we don't know what to do when we're walking through deserts and pits. They needed a leader. Amen. But the leader was not Moses. The leader was God through Moses. Can I tell you, God knows where the pits are. Glory to God. So why am I looking down? I'm going to look up. And He's going to lead me. And He's going to guide me beside still waters. He's going to take me to green pastures. And even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil because His rod and His staff, they comfort me. Even in the presence of mine enemies, He prepares the table right for me. I can be blessed in the midst of adversity, praise God, because He knows where the pits are. He knows where the dry times and the deserts are. Jeremiah tells them that they have forgotten who led them through a land of drought. Praise God, we've been delivered. Thank God He set me free. Them chains are gone. Nothing's holding me. Hallelujah. I'm blessed, too blessed to be stressed. He brought me up out of Egyptian bondage. He set my feet on a solid rock. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But when revival is over, I don't know if you realized it or not, but I ain't had a drink of water in about a week. At least when I was in bondage, there was water to drink. Egypt wasn't the most pleasant thing in the world, but I didn't have it this bad. Glory to God. I once told somebody, I believe this week, I know God is so gracious, but sometimes I can't help but think He just rolls them big eyes. I don't even pretend to know the mind of God, the thoughts of God. And I don't think He talks like we do. But I imagine Him saying something. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? Hallelujah. You've forgotten. Who brought you through the drought? Water. Water can't come from a rock unless God tells it to. Hallelujah. 40 years. Not 40 minutes. Not 40 days. 40 years. He filled them when they were thirsty. He fed them when they were hungry. He let their clothes last 40 years. I'm sorry, ladies. They didn't go out of style. Their shoes lasted 40 years. But that's all right, God. We're in the land of plenty now. We're into that land that flows with milk and honey. We're good. We're good. Rather than thanking God for the blessings, they begin to take them for granted. Jeremiah, tell them who led them through and out of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. Who was it that closed the very thing that saved them? Who opened up the Red Sea, let them walk through on dry ground, then closed it up over their enemies? And not only that, but told them, these Egyptians you see today, you will never see anymore. Praise God. Who in here could say, thank you, God, that that problem that I had, I'll never see it anymore. That enemy that come against me, I'm not going to be bothered by them anymore. It takes faith to be able to stay that. It takes faith to be able to live that way. But Jeremiah, tell them they've forgotten. They've forgotten who it was. In their time of plenty, in their time of continuous blessing, in their time of abundance, and in their time of reaping what they had not sown. And we'll get to that in just a minute. They've forgotten me. Jeremiah, I love this. And I never thought about it. But he tells him, Jeremiah, tell him, who brought you through where no other man had passed? I'm going to tell you, there's your answer. Because some of you have said, God, there ain't no one that's ever been through what I'm going through. Children of Israel could say, Lord, they didn't no one ever come through this way. But how many knows that God can put a highway right in the middle of the desert? How many knows that He can cause springs to bubble up in the midst of your dryness, in the midst of a spiritual thing that you can't seem to get victory over? All of a sudden, God just places an abundance right there. Hallelujah. Where no other man has ever gone, no other person has ever endured or went through what you're going through. But that doesn't matter, because God can still make a way, even though no one has ever past or been what you've been through. Hallelujah. God is able. And God has fed you. God has watered you. God has clothed you. And God has taken care of your illnesses. Think about 40 years in the desert. Think about 40 years in a time where you know there was probably some sickness, there was probably some affliction. Man, and there was no one to turn to except God. I remember my grandparents talking about a time when there was no one else to turn to except God. Amen. There was not a minute clinic. Hello. There wasn't a doc in the box. There wasn't the aisles and aisles of over-the-counter medicine found at a 24-hour Walmart or Walgreens. There was a car in the yard, but it didn't have enough gas to get to the nearest doctor. Hello? But don't worry. God is a God at hand. Can I tell you that when seemingly there are other avenues, the last avenue that we seemingly choose is God. We choose a medicine cabinet. We choose this. We choose that. It's all right, God, I got it under control. But when there's a time and there's none of that around, a desert where no one else lived, God, I need a doctor. My granddaddy Allen was a man of faith. Went home to be with the Lord at a very early age. Actually, he died. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Lord. I'm older than my granddaddy when he died. That's a blessing. Amen. But he went home to be with the Lord. But when he got so sick, this was a time before the heart attack got him. He called my dad and said, go get in the car and drive down and get sister so-and-so. Not the doctor. But get sister so-and-so. I know she's a woman of faith. And I know she can get a prayer through. Daddy said, it's either Daddy or one of the other brothers. I can't remember. But one of the brothers might have been Daddy. He said, but Daddy, we don't have enough gas in the car. He said, you'll have enough. You'll have enough. Daddy, we won't have enough to get there, let alone get her back. He said, you'll have enough to get her there, get her here, and take her back home. Hallelujah. That's faith. So he gets in the car and he goes and gets sister so-and-so. She comes back. They pray for her. My granddaddy gets better. There's plenty enough gas to go back and take her home. And you know what? When they got up the next day, then they measured the gas. It was exactly where it was before they went. When you got no one else, when you got no other avenues, when you got no one else you can turn to, when there's nothing else that can be done, somebody say, I need God, and God is there for us. But we have forgotten that. We seemingly have come too far in a land of plenty, in a land of abundance, in a land of we don't need you, God, in a land of that's all right, I got it under control. God said, you need to get back to where you love me. You need to get back to where you depend upon me. Glory to God. Because I remember thee. Remember thee. And I remember the relationship that we had. When I love this part. Jeremiah, go and tell the children of Israel that I brought them through a land that was not sown. 40 days. Yeah, that's pretty good. 40 years is amazing. Through a desert. Nothing was sown. But that's all right. I'll just rain something down from heaven. I'll just rain you down some manna. Or the Hebrew, what is it? You ever been blessed with them? Well, what is it? I can't put my hand. I don't know what it is, but I just feel great. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. What is it? Thank you for that heavenly manna. Thank you, God, for giving me just what I needed. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for this manna that becomes bread, but man does not live by bread alone. That's a single quail. Multiply that time a million. Now that'd be the church of the day. We'd be walking around kicking them quail out of the way. Lord, I need some meat to eat. The kind that comes wrapped in cellophane with a price tag on it, sitting in the cooler at the Walmart. One I won't have to pluck. One I won't have to dehead. Kicking blessings out of the way that God said, no, hear this. I'll feed you. You are reaping where no one else has sown. Glory to God. Now I look around here. I want to tell you the difference. I look around here and we're blessed. We're blessed with what God has been given, ability to give us. We have a wonderful sanctuary. We have a wonderful little building back there that has been completely renovated. And can I just give God praise? Only owe $3,400 on that building being completed, paid for. God has given that. Now, that's because people before us have sown. Come on. And we're reaping the benefits of that. But God said, you're reaping where no one else has sown. You know what that tells me? God's going to bless me, amen, regardless of who came before me, regardless of what it is. God's going to bless me. I'm not dependent on my job. I'm not dependent on my bank account. I'm not dependent on my material things. I'm not dependent on what somebody else has done. I'm dependent on Almighty God, because He'll feed you where nothing else has been sowed. He'll make a way, amen, when nobody else can step up. He is God, hallelujah, and able to do all things, even that we can reap where no one else has sown. And still, God supplied all your needs. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Verse 7, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thine hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. Yet we say, God, I don't know if you know it, but I'm walking through a dry spell. He knoweth. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee, thou hadst lacked nothing. But yet, as I brought you through these 40 years and this wilderness journey, and your seed now rests in a land that flows with milk and honey, where you are reaping where someone else sowed. Trey's proud of his little garden. He's got blueberries on his blueberry bushes. He's got blooms on his tomato vines. Strawberries are a little slow yet, but they're crawling. Amen. But what's so special, he had a hand in sowing it. And he looks with great anticipation to when he can harvest some blueberries, because he had a hand in sowing it. But the children of Israel walked into a land of plenty. The 12 spies went out. They'd never had a complaint about what was there. Oh, surely the land flows with milk and honey. Surely, look at the grapes. Look at the things that we brought back. This is the fruit of it. I mean, somebody else has already sown it. Somebody else has already done the work. All we got to do is just go in and harvest it and enjoy it. But let me tell you something. There's some giants in there. All the naysayers. Amen. But thank God that two said, no, we're more than able to go in and possess it now. The children of Israel walked into the land of plenty. And what happened? They ate. They harvested something that somebody else had already done the work to. And they forgot to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for a land of plenty. Thank you, God. The relationship grew very, very weak. They quit relying on God. They quit trusting in God and began to trust in the fruit of the land. And what happened over a period of time? They begin to slide backwards. They begin to forget the relationship that we had with God. My prayer is that that never happens to the church. My hope is that every born-again believer can learn to live in times of success just as dependent on God as they were in times of drought. In times when there was nothing. In times when the only thing that you had to rely on was God. And if we do that, God will let us be successful. It's not the things. It's the love of the things. And the forgetting where those things come from. Amen. Don't be that person that only prays when you need something. Don't be that person that only asks God in your life when you can't find any else or any answer anywhere else. Let Him be first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then He'll add these other things. Thou hadst lacked nothing, but now in the land of plenty, you have forgotten me. I pray that our nation would wake up and realize that it's all right to trust in God. I'm fearful that there may be few that override that and say that we're not a nation that believes in God. We're just a nation that believes anything and everything is okay. And if whoever pats them on the back, whoever acknowledges that, whoever agrees with that, needs to read the 11th verse of chapter 2. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. No matter how much success that we're able to enjoy, no matter how many blessings we're able to be blessed with and indulge in, let us never, ever forget our relationship with the Lord. That is the single most important thing that we must guard against. Don't become complacent. Don't become one that just reaps and reaps and reaps and reaps and never thanks God. Because I'm afraid if that's the case, we might find ourselves back in the wilderness. I'm going to leave you with this. As for me, come on, as for me, I can only speak for myself. I had rather die in the wilderness close to God than die in the land of plenty away from God. Amen. Hallelujah. And if it takes the wilderness to get me back to where I need to be, then thus be it. Because I've come too far to go back now. Would you stand? Every head bowed. Every eye closed. When does plenty become too much? When does plenty begin to impede my relationship with God? When do the things of this world are more important to me than my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? If those things have happened, then your plenty has become a detriment. It has become a harm. It has become a danger. You know where you stand with God. With your head bowed, your eyes closed. If there's one that has realized that maybe I'm not as thankful as I once was. Maybe I am not as dependent and close to God as I once was. Don't think you're the only one that that ever happened to. It happened to an entire generation. But now is the time to say, Lord, straighten out my priorities. God, be first in my life. And I know that as long as I keep you first, everything else will fall into its rightful place. If there's not one who would come forward while every head is bowed, would you at least lift your hand? And I'm not going to come get you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm just going to pray this week. I'm going to pray that God will bless you. Church, I love you. And I see those hands and God sees those hands. And I pray that God will bless you. Brother Jim, if you would come at this time.
dismiss us with a word of prayer.